We're talking about this matter of the qualification and the responsibility of elders. And so last week we spent so much of the time talking about the qualification of the elders. But to do that, you've got to talk about what an elder is. And I hope that you know, I hope that you are aware of the fact that there are three Greek words that are used to describe elders. And it's important that we understand this. The word that we almost always use is the word elder. Every time we talk about elders, we're going to say elders. In this class, when I'm talking about elders, I'm going to talk about elders. You may notice in our church bulletin that a lot of times we use the word pastors and shepherds on the first page. I don't know if you've noticed that, but that is by design and everything, because it's these other words that really give us some insight into this. But there is the word elder. The Greek word is presbyteros, and we get the word presbyters from it. And that's a Bible word. It's only found one time in the Bible. It's not found in the New King James. It's found in the New American Standard Bible. But a presbyter, Greek word, an elder, is an older individual. Now, old is relative in relationship to this. If you think about how long people lived in the first century, a 40-year-old man might have been an elder in the first century world, if you'll stop and think about it. But he wasn't 38 when he got married either. I mean, so you got to understand the difference in the culture that's there. But it has to do with spiritual maturity because of the fact that an elder cannot be a novice. And so you've got that Greek word that's there. And then you've got the word overseer. We're going to spend a lot of time tonight looking at the word overseer. And that's the Greek word episkopos. And if you see epi, like epidermis, meaning the over, scopus, meaning see, epi overseer, is episkopos. And that's just the Greek word that's there. And it's the word that's translated bishop. It's the word that's translated overseer. And I really believe it will help us in our minds to be able to think about what an elder is in relationship to that. And the third word, poimen, the third Greek word that is there is a word that is translated shepherd. It's translated in the verb form to feed. Another translation of it is the word pastor. And because of the misuse of the word pastor in the denominational world, there's a tendency sometimes even in the Lord's church for people to call preachers pastors. Well, that's not who the pastors are. Preachers are pastors. They're not pastors. And so it's important for us, or sometimes pastors anyway. And so we need to understand the difference in that. But those words describe what an elder is. He's an individual that is spiritually older. He's a presbyter. And so he's a presbyter, he's an elder. He is an overseer. He is a bishop, and he is an overseer. And he is a shepherd, he is a pastor, he's one who feeds the flock. I want us to take just a few minutes and go to page 146. That's where you'll find your first blank will be about halfway down 146. But I want to read to you what I believe is perhaps the most important chapter in the Bible about what a shepherd is. In the Old Testament, there were those individuals who were elders of the city. They were responsibility for the welfare of the city. And so open your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 34, and we won't have time to look in detail by any means at all of this, but I don't know of any chapter in the Bible that describes what God expects for an elder to be. And so when those individuals in the New Testament, when they saw the word elder, guess what they'd think of? This is exactly what they would think of, how God had used the word in the Old Testament. And he says, Son of man, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 2, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and to say to them, thus says the Lord of the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock? And then he talks about these shepherds who are there, who enjoy being shepherds, elders, overseers, and that's to make this application by putting New Testament words in this passage, that says you eat the fat, you clothe yourself with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. And then this description, if you want to know what a shepherd is like, what when the Lord put elders in the church, bishops, overseers, pastors, when he put presbyters in the church, here's what he had in mind. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back that which was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. They were scattered because there was no shepherd, and because and became food for all of the beasts of field, whither they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my sheep were scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. You know what an elder is? Here is a vivid description of what God had in mind. If we talk about the word elder, we're talking about his personal traits. He is an individual that is spiritual mature. He's an older individual. That still doesn't describe what he does. When he used the word overseer, bishop, that talks about the authority that he has, and it is in part described somewhat of what he does, but it is in these last three words, to feed the flock of God, to shepherd the flock, to pastor the flock. It's in those passages that you find what an elder is. We don't have time to look at all of this. Look at the top of page 34 and look at starting top of page 146. A number small b under that, the Lord specifies exactly what they had failed to do as their role of shepherds. And if you want to describe and understand what God expects a shepherd to read those 9 points that are there. In fact, later in this chapter, he talks about the fact that you butted people out of the flock. I mean, you just were such domineering individuals, you butted them out of the flock. You were not concerned about the sheep. And the Lord says, therefore, I am against these shepherds. And so God wants his shepherds to be serious in relationship to this. Now, here's what we studied thus far about the responsibilities of an elder, and that is, he's to take heed, he is to watch. And now we're going to start with number 8. See in the middle of the page, number 8, elders have the responsibility to be overseers. And there you'll see in italics in that second sentence there, the Greek word episkopos, the verb form of it, is used once in the Bible to refer to the elders of the church. And that is the word overseers. When it is translated this way, it's translated as overseers, taking the oversight, exercising oversight, and exercising the oversight. The Greek noun for this word, and that's episkopos, the first is the verb form. Here it is in the noun form. You see the similarity. Is found 4 times in the Bible. It's translated overseers. It's translated bishop. So if you ask what's the responsibility of an elder, his work is to be an overseer. An overseer has accepted the responsibility to care and to watch and to guard for the flock. Look at the bottom of that page, and there are 4 statements that are there, beginning C through F, right at the bottom of page 146. Elders are responsible for the direction of the church. They are responsible for the teaching done within the church. They are responsible for the overall spiritual health of the church, and they are responsible for sound doctrine that's found in the church. Who has that responsibility? To see that the spiritual things that are happening in the church is what people need in their lives. It is those spiritually minded men that God gives. You know, he must be the husband of one wife. He must have godly children and all of those responsibilities that are there. And these are divine given responsibilities, and it is their responsibility. They are the ones who pastor the flock. It's not the preacher that pastors the flock. That word pastor is never used in the Bible, though in the religious world it's used sometimes to refer to preachers, but it's never used in the Bible to refer to an individual who's an evangelist, some individual who's a preacher of the gospel. It always is used to refer to those who are shepherds. And so they do have that authority. The only time, look at the top of page 146, an elder's primary oversight is of the souls and of their eternal salvation. And it's not just to oversee parts of the things. God is concerned about them overseeing the souls of the church. I looked down under number 5 under that, and my notes on the side, I just wrote the side that it is not just number 5, and eldership oversight also necessarily includes, and here are 5 things that are included, A through E, But it is not just this. And if we're not careful sometimes, when we think about the oversight of the elders, they are appointing leaders in the church, deacons and preachers, and organizing and arranging various works of the church, and then the operation of the church, and the finances of the church, and discipline within the church. And that's not to minimize any of these at all. But the responsibility is found in that first part of there. He says, you were like sheep, going back up to number four, right above those five things, you were like sheep going astray. But if now return to the shepherd and overseers of your soul. This word, the only time it is used other than refer to elders, episkopos, is in reference to Jesus himself. And Jesus is called the overseers of the souls. They watch for your souls is a biblical way to describe the work of elders. And so Jesus is the chief shepherd. These other individuals, to coin some words, they are under bishops, they are under overseers, and they're under shepherds. Why? Because there's the chief shepherd, there's the chief overseer, there is the chief bishop. And we've got to understand that. And these individuals are spiritual men appointed according to the qualifications of God, and that is their responsibilities. Now then, elders, number I, elders have the responsibility to the flock to labor. There are two Greek words in the Bible to talk about labor. One of them is that you work and you're tired. And that's a word that is used sometimes about those laborers in the vineyard, those individuals who were hired to work for an hour. That's the word labor that is used there. But the other Greek word for labor means to labor to the point of exhaustion. You're talking about being an elder in the church, talking about the responsibility. And those who are elders well understand, because you've lived it, and your elders' wives understand. And that is, they labor to the point of growing weary, laborious toil, and to work with efforts. And it emphasizes working to the point of exhaustion, and even while exhausted, it's in the present tense, by the way, indicates that it is laboring. It's not that they have labored. The word is in the present tense. And so here are these individuals who labor in the Lord. And you see those verses, Acts 20, verse 35, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, and 1 Timothy 5, 17. That's where the word labor is found. So the responsibility of a labor is to oversee, to shepherd, to pastor, but he's to labor. And that is, it takes a lot of toil. And in the first century, by the way, number two under that, there were those who labored in word and doctrine. And evidently, there were those elders who were full-time elders. They were supported by the church. And there are churches that have seen the wisdom of a point of paying elders to that they may have more time to serve the Lord. And these men devoted themselves, those who are worthy of double honor, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, are those who labor in word and doctrine. Well, we need to understand that every elder is to labor in the word. That's his responsibility. Number three under that, in the two other passages, Acts 20, 35, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, we find a fuller definition of what it means to labor. Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, verse 32, I commend you to the God and to the word of his grace. For elders to oversee, for them to make wise decisions, they've got to labor in the word. You cannot just as an elder be that individual who arrives at the point that you stop studying. He's to labor to the point of exhaustion, because a part of the labor that he does is to know the word of his grace. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul told these elders to support the weak. And then look at all of these words used to describe the work of elders from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. They are to admonish. They are to warn. They are to give instruction. They too are to admonish the disorderly. They must warn those who are walking out of step to come back. They need to encourage the faint-hearted. They must comfort those who are discouraged and want to give up. They need to uphold the weak, to hold firmly to and to help those who are weak in the faith. They need to be patient with all, long-suffering and enduring. And when you look at all of these, I've underlined the statement, and when the Bible speaks about elders and their work, it does not focus on a business meeting. There must be elders' meetings and everything, but that's not what the work of an elder is. His work is to labor. He's to be that shepherd. He's that to be that under-shepherd out serving the Lord, described in Ezekiel chapter 34. And he has a responsibility to oversee the church. But when you look at all of these things that are listed there in reference to places where they may, where they labor, it has to do with the souls of individuals. We'll see that in just a moment. Look at the next blank, and that's down to number J at the bottom of the page. Elders have the responsibility of the congregation to be stewards. We have very little understanding in our culture what a steward is. But if you'll understand that in Bible times, there were those individuals who were slaves. But there was that one individual who was a slave, but he had greater responsibility. And the slave's responsibility was to get out and labor in the field. But the steward was responsible for the household and for all the things that happened within that. And so if you'll understand what is involved in being a shepherd, we come to a realization that elders don't own the flock, but the Lord has entrusted them with the flock. We'll see a verse a little bit later that talks about these shepherds are those who must give an account. They're responsible for those sheep, and that's what they are as stewards of God. An elder, then, is a steward in the Lord's church. In the Lord's church is a steward of God. And we emphasize this point to emphasize the fact that he is over the flock, but the flock still belongs to God. A local congregation never belonged to any one man, never belonged to a reverend, never belonged to a pastor, never belonged to an elder. It never belonged to an eldership. The flock belongs to God. And so God has entrusted that flock to that individual. And look under that where I've underlined number D under that. An elder will eventually give an account for his stewardship. One of the sobering things of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says that they watch for your souls as those that must give an account. Elders need to understand that God said, I have entrusted you with all of these things, and you're going to give an account for what's being done. You see that, do you not, in the parable of the talents, where there was the five-talent man, the two-talent man, and the one-talent man. In Luke, it's not the parable of the talents, it's the parable of the pound. Same type of thing, just different numbers involved in relationship to that. So here was this individual who had this money, and he gave this money, and he went to a far country knowing that he would come back. And so he gave them talents, and that has to do with money. It's a measure of money. And when he came back, he called these individuals to whom he had trusted. He said, now what have you done with the money that I left to you? That's stewardship. And Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17 says, they watch for your souls as those that must give an account. You and I need to understand that one of the reasons every time we assemble in this building, we ask everybody to sign cards. Why? That is one of the ways of enabling our elders to see about the spiritual health of members of this church. If you'll stop and think about it, individual stops and stops coming and he misses a week or so, that might not indicate, but when an individual gets to 3 or 4 weeks, he's got some problem. He may be sick, he may have some needs prior to that time. But all of a sudden, when 3 weeks or 7 weeks, do you know that it only takes 3 weeks to break a habit of coming to worship, those who've done studies? And that's why the elders watch at the attendance of those who are here. It only takes 3 weeks before there's an indication there could be some spiritual problem that's there. And when you get to 7 weeks, studies have shown that by seven or eight, the seventh week or the eighth week, they have already, that individual who's left the Lord by the seventh or eighth week has already filled in that time that normally he'd been coming to worship. He's already filled that in. what he used to do every Sunday morning or Sunday night. He's now filled that in with something else. And that's why elders are so concerned about us, and that's why the elders ask that we sign cards in relationship to that. Look at number four under that. There's a blank in this. An elder has a responsibility to take care of the church of God. That is his responsibility. And there is the Greek word that's there. It's found here and in one other passage. You know where the take care of is, and the other time it's in the Bible? Good Samaritan. Whenever you saw that man was bleeding beside the road, you remember what the Samaritan did? The Bible says that he brought him to the inn, and he said to the innkeeper, here's a man bleeding because he's been robbed, and he says, take care of this man. And whenever he departs, evidently the next day he says, take care of him. And that's the very same word used in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And so here's that sheep. Here's that individual who's struggling. Satan's come into his life and he's seeking to destroy that individual. And the responsibility of an elder is to take care of that individual and don't let those who've come to destroy him. Number K, a blank to be filled in. Elders have the responsibility of the congregation to lead. Under that, we talk about the word rule. There are two words of the English word rule is used at least four times in the New Testament regarding elders, and it comes from two Greek words. When we think of a rule, we think somebody of that individual got a club in his hand, you know, like a drill instructor in a boot camp. That's not the Greek word at all. Neither of these words indicate that. The first one, found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. It indicates they have a supervisory capacity. They are those who lead. They are those who guide. They are the blanks to be filled in that. That's what it means to rule the church of God. He leads the church of God. He guides the church of God. And the other one, and they're blanks to be filled in there, another Greek word for rule used for elders means he is to stand before, he's to rule over, he is to manage. And so there are the two Greek words. So when we think about elders being overseers, they're not lords over God's heritage. They just have the God-given responsibility to manage, to take care of those sheep that are there. This word rule is used in reference to a man ruling his own house. One of the qualifications of being an elder is he must be one who rules his own house. And if he does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If you want to see the kind of an elder you'll have, look at his family, look at his wife, see how he treats his wife, see how he treats his family, and that's exactly how he will treat the church if you're not careful in relationship to that. And so he must be one who rules his own house. In fact, somebody made this observation that the first flock that a man that is an elder has is his own household. He rules his own house, and the Bible says, look at how he rules his house, and you'll see how he rules the church of God. Got to hasten on, page 149. Elders are to lead, to guide, to direct, and to rule, and to stand before. And that's what that second word means. The first one, the second Greek word means to stand in front of. And that's exactly what an elder does. It's not that he's got a club trying to drive the sheep. He's there, he's respected, he's a spiritual man, a man, and he is that individual who directs and rules, and he stands before the church. Now look at the adjectives that are used to describe him as he stands before the church, as he guides the church, as he directs the church. An elder must be one who leads according to the integrity of his heart. I have circled Psalm 78, verse 72. If I were you in my notes, I would circle that. That is used in reference to King David. And the Lord says, I needed someone to be king. I didn't need King Saul. I found a shepherd. And I put my shepherd over the kingdom of God, that he might take care of the sheep. And the Bible says, and David ruled them with the integrity of his own heart. Number five under this, And that is because there must be church. Oh, well, let's look at all of the words. He directs them by the word of God back in the previous paragraph. He leads in the paths of righteousness. He leads by example. He guides every man to be perfect in Christ. An elder must be one who respects that he only leads in the Lord. And in relationship to that, he is responsible for their spiritual life, not for every detail of their life. Elders are responsible for leading the church and withdrawing fellowship. The Bible talks about if some individuals walk in disorderly, that individual needs to be marked and to be publicly marked and for the church to withdraw fellowship from him. And elders have that responsibility to keep the church pure. They have the responsibility for shepherding souls. And in shepherding souls and being a shepherd, they'll know who the sheep are. And they oversee souls. And they'll be focused on eternity. And they're leading souls. They will guide the Lord's church in relationship to withdrawal of fellowship. And if there are not those in congregations where there are not elders, or where there are elders who will not withdraw fellowship, the kingdom of God will be filled with those who are immoral. Why? You can live any way you want to and be a part of the kingdom of God. You cannot live any way you want to and be a part of the church of the Bible. And that's what this church is. We're trying to go back and be that first century church here in the 21st century. An entire lesson later will be delivered in this 5 o'clock class on how do you withdraw fellowship, so we'll not spend much time in that. Look at the elders must have the responsibility to pray. Jesus, who was the chief shepherd, prayed for those who were under his authority. Jesus is called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5, and as the shepherd and overseers of our souls, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, he prayed for those who were under his charge. Elders, therefore, must spend time, that's a blank to be filled in private prayer in their homes and in group with praying for each other. They need to pray for wisdom, pray for themselves, pray for each other, pray for the preachers, pray for the deacons, pray for the children, pray for the young people. They should pray most importantly for every soul within the congregation. And there's power from individuals knowing that the elders are praying for them. Be amazed how many times in that card that you fill out on a Sunday, people put, "I need the elders to pray about this for me." And this eldership, I want you to understand, oftentimes looks at those very cards and prays specifically for everything that is involved in relationship to this. I heard of one church that did this, and I'm not saying every church must do it, but the elders arrived early at the building. And they spent time. They told the church, "We're going to pray for every member of the church this year." And so they arrived early at the building on a Sunday morning, and they took the church directory. And they went into a room, and they spent 20 minutes before services praying for just 5 or 6 or 7 families in the church. And then they got up and they said, "We're trying to pray for every member of this church. And today we want you to know that the elders prayed for this family, this family, this family, this family, and this family." Another congregation did it, said they were going to do it. And while they did not announce publicly which family they'd been praying for, they sought out those families and said, "We want you to know that we're praying for you and for your family and for your children." Elders need to be men of prayer, and that is just a judgment of a way by which elders could do that type of thing. Turning the page. In giving specific responsibility to the elders, the Lord also addressed their motivation for serving. And so there is that motivation that elders have for serving. And that is, he's not running for a political office. That's not what being an elder is. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, that he ought to do it willingly, and that means voluntarily. He ought to do it eagerly, zealously. And so, given specific responsibility, the Lord talks about their motivation. Why on earth would someone want to be an elder in the church? David mentioned it in this study previously when James A. Garfield, President James A. Garfield, before the Civil War in American history, he was an elder in the church. When he became president, he thought, I've got so much time, I've got responsibility for being president. And James Garfield said, "I'm stepping downward from being an elder in the church to become president of the United States." You want to know why a man ought to motivate himself to be an elder? because there's no greater responsibility and no greater place in the service of God in order to how to serve God. Look under number N of that. There are no blanks that are there. Those who rule well. Here's the blessings and reward. Those who rule well and labor in word of doctrine are worthy of double honor. We as members, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes, have a responsibility to those five men who are elders in this church to give honor to them. And a part of that is expressing gratitude to them and saying, I am so glad that you are my elder. I am so thankful that you are. And that's not just words that you say. It's an expression of the heart that you have. They're worthy of honor. Those who labor in word and doctrine are worthy of double honor. And then even more, and listen to this, even more rewarding than earthly compensation is the promise to those who are under elders. Jesus is the chief shepherds. He's the chief elder. Those who are shepherds, under shepherds, that when the chief shepherd shall appear, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. You need to hear those men who are elders and those men who are trying to think about being elders in the church. I want you to understand, the God of heaven says, I have something to give to you, and that when the chief shepherd will appear, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. We have a responsibility to give honor to those who are elders, but God Himself says, when that day comes, I've got a crown of glory that I'm going to give to those of you who are elders. And I have no idea exactly what that is or what it looks like or the form of it or anything, but just imagine. Just imagine having served the God faithfully in any capacity. But what about having served God in the greatest place there is to serve God on this earth, and that is to be an elder in the church. Number four, Roman numeral number four, the New Testament teaches that elders have authority within the local congregation. Some have tried to deny that the elders have any authority at all, but they do not understand. When one surveys the qualification the Lord gives for elders, it is obvious He had in mind for them to be a position of authority within the local congregation. When He talks about the responsibility, it's obvious that the Lord gives to elders that authority. And so we need to understand that elders have authority. Here's a point that needs to be made and needs to be kept in mind. In and of himself, one elder does not have any authority within or over a congregation. That's critical for us to keep in mind. One elder has no more authority than another elder does. And authority that he has is authority that comes within the eldership. You never read the word elder, bishop, pastors, overseer, shepherd. You never read it in the singular. It's always in the plural. So the authority does not rest within an elder. It represents, it is within an eldership. And this in and of itself means there's no place for minority rule. One elder cannot direct the course of an eldership. I remember Jerry Hopkins making a statement that I'd never heard it said this way, but he said to the deacons on one occasion, you deacons probably get frustrated sometimes when the elders ask you to do this and this or this and that, and it may not be something you'd want to do or something you may know better how to do it than the elders even trying to tell you how to do it. But he said, we want you to know, here's an elder, we want you to know that every elder in this church is subject to the eldership as much as you are individually. And so when elders meet and the elders say to one single elder, will you take care of this? His answer is yes. David and Josh and I meet with the elders, and the elders say, would you take care of this? Would the preachers take care of this? Absolutely. Why? Because we are subject to that eldership. But every elder individually is subject to an eldership. And thus we need to understand there is authority that is within the eldership, but it's not the authority within one man. Several years ago, many years ago, I said to an elder who came to me, he said, Dan, here's what I want you to do. I said to him, as humbly as I could, I said to him, are you talking as an elder, or is this an eldership that is talking to me? Because how I respond to what you want me to do will not be determined by you. And one elder has no authority. It is the eldership. Let me tell you this. When that eldership makes that decision and when they walk out of that elder's meeting, every preacher and every elder needs to be 100% in favor of what that eldership decides. You get a situation developed where people say, well, the eldership's divided over this. It'll divide, it'll weaken the church, and it'll harm the work of the church in everything that it does. I'm turning the page to get to the next page, and number H in the next page. Look at number G on the top of page 151. The authority that an eldership has is not the same authority that Jesus has. When Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth, the Greek word there is exousia. Elders have no exousia authority. And so, number H, the eldership has authority under the one who has all authority. And so we've got a list there of some six or seven things. They have no authority to make laws and change laws or to rescind the laws. They have no authority to bind anything that Christ has not bound. In my mind, they have no authority to loose anything that Christ has loosed. They have no authority to teach and expect members. They do have authority to teach and expect members to obey the law of Christ. They do have authority to make decisions in the realm of judgment. But there's an area where they do not have authority. You see, an eldership cannot say, well, we're just going to decide we're not going to practice immersion anymore. No elder has that authority. Why? Because he does not have exousia authority. His authority is limited to matters because he himself is under that shepherd. Number I into that, while possessing authority within a local congregation, elders recognize that they are not to lord it over the flock. I've seen situations in talking to fellow preachers, sometimes they'll say, Dan, we've got one elder, he's just trying to run the church here. There's no way for one man to run the church. And any elder who sees himself as an individual on whom the sole authority of the destiny of the church rests needs to sit down and restudy the whole matter. And he cannot lord it over the flock. First Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3 says, that they ought to respect. And when they become elders, they do not lord it over the flock. I would say to those individuals who are elders or who someday will be elders, that if you're trying to decide, am I lording it over the flock? Then ask yourself this question. If I wanted to lord it over the flock, what would I have to do different from what I'm doing right now? That in and of itself will help us understand what lording it over the flock is. Elders are not to be self-willed. It's not that they are to run the church and to have the church under their own authority. They need to respect the authority of the limits that the Lord gives to them, and they have no right to lord it over any member, including other elders. You need to understand that when a decision is made, that every elder is subject to that decision. Number five, there's a blank in this one. The New Testament gives responsibility to the members of the church toward the elders. There are some general responsibilities that we have in relationship to the matter of the elders. And that there is that general responsibility. The elders are overseers, therefore we are the overseen. The elders are the shepherd, therefore we are the sheep. The elders are those who lead us, therefore we are those who are followers. And now as our responsibility toward the elders is to recognize the authority inherent within the eldership. The Bible repeatedly says, obey them that have the rule over you, being subject to them. We need to understand that elders are looking out for our souls, and we have a grave responsibility to be those individuals who honor the eldership. Being an elder is not a popularity contest. It's not a reward that you give to a man. Well, after he served several years as a deacon, well, let's just make him an elder. He may not be qualified. And the last statement, and I've underlined this and wanted to put stars all around it. One five-letter word sums it up, and that is trusting an eldership. Elders know things about the church that members do not know. Hear me, every member of the church, listen to what I'm saying. The elders are privy to information that members sometimes have shared with them, and they are not at liberty to tell everybody some of the things that they know privately. But if an elder meets those qualifications of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, he will be respected. And there will be inherent within that the matter of trust. Top of the next page, there are specific responsibilities that members have toward their elders. But write down that word specific. And as you're writing it down, listen to these words that are biblical words, and there are Bible verses behind every one of these words that are found in the points underneath that word specific. To know them, to respect them, to appreciate them, to recognize they are over us in the Lord, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, to be at peace among themselves, to be submissive to the elders, to obey the elders, respecting their authority, to count all elders worthy of honor, to count full-time elders worthy of double honors. And number 9, never accept one single accusation against an elder. When the Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 5 talks about an elder, says, against an elder receive not an accusation at the mouth of two or three witnesses. There sometimes will be that one individual who's out to destroy the eldership, and that individual could become a gossip in the church. Let me tell you, do you know so-and-so? Do you know this about the elders? Don't you receive it. That's our God-given response. It doesn't mean you ignore it, but it does not mean that you listen to every word that anybody says about it. And you would not want anybody in this church to receive what some enemy that you might have in the church, some problem that he had in relationship to you. Number 6, and the last thing on this page is there's a great need in the church today. There's a great need for men who will look at the qualification for elders and challenge themselves to meet each of these qualifications. This 5 o'clock class has a purpose, because when I read there's a great need in the church today, I wrote the word at Palm Beach Lakes. We have men, 3 men who are older. We have two elders who are younger, and we need to understand that there's a grave need in this church for individuals to set their mark. I am going to, with God's help, I'm going to someday be an elder in the church. Grave responsibility. The destiny of the church rests on some of you men who sit in this place. And the fact that we've had these elders, some of them to be elders 35 years, and have steered this church in the right direction, we need to understand that just a few years from now, those men will not be there. And we need those individuals who will step to the front in relationship to this. The number B under that, there's a blank. There's a great need for men who will accept the responsibility and the honor of serving as an elder. And number C, there's a great need for members who will honor, submit, and obey the elders. I put a note down at the bottom of this, and that is, Dan, conclude this lesson with a challenge to all the men at Palm Beach Lakes. And I want to do that. I want to challenge all men. I'm talking about you young men who are 8 or 10 or 12 years of age. I want to challenge you someday to be an elder in the church. I want to challenge our young ladies to be elders' wife and to be supportive of them and to make up their mind. Sometimes we think, well, we need preachers in the church. Well, sometimes we've got too many preachers in the church. What we need in the church is the eldership. And the reason 35 years ago I came to work with this congregation is because I sat with 5 men, and only 2 of those individuals are now elders, but I sat with 5 men in a room, and when I sat with them and they talked about this church, I walked away saying, these men know what the church is all about. So I moved my family down here 35 years ago so that I could work under this eldership. I thank God for the eldership that we have here. But there's a responsibility that those who are younger need to fulfill in relationship to this, and to see yourself someday serving God to decide right now, God being my helper, I'm someday going to be an elder in the church, and it will be exactly why I am living in relationship to the church. Let's respect, let's honor, and give great honor to our elders in this place, and let's be a New Testament church.